Hello, everybody. This is CCMP Podcast Year 2, or Episode 2, depending on how you want to look at it. In this one, I'm going to be discussing a lot of the Year 2 symposium. Plus, along with that, I've got a couple other new segments I'm going to try out in this one. One is news from the men's room and the year that was, which will be basically telling you a lot of what was going on in 1995, which was the year of this symposium. And I will try to do that in every one. Hopefully I can have some news from the men's room in every one. And then we will get into, I will recap a little bit of year one with something I might have missed. And then we will get into year two of the symposium. So without any further ado, let's get the news from the men's room. I don't know how many of you guys have heard about this, but there's a new sport now just starting up, and I think we ought to get behind it. It's called Ultimate Taser Ball. From what I've seen of this, it's like a large beach ball that you have to carry, and you have to try to score a goal kind of like in soccer, but you get to use your hands. Well, the other team, on defense, you get to have a taser. It's like 4-on-4. The other guy gets a taser, and when you get close to another player, he can actually hit you with this taser, making you drop the ball, and then you can get the ball and take it down to the other end and score also. It doesn't say how long it incapacitates. It pretty much probably just makes you drop the ball, and then you have to taser ball. So keep an eye out for it. The final story comes from Hollywood Babylon, Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith's podcast, and it's called Ron DeJeremy's Rum. He has two different kinds of it, and you can go to rondejeremy.com, I believe is the name of the site, and you can actually order it there, and it gives you history and a bunch of other stuff about the rum. But he has two different rums. It's called Ron DeJeremy Rum for adults, and then he has Ron DeJeremy Spice Rum. The Ron DeJeremy rum is 40% alcohol, 80 proof. The Ron DeJeremy spice rum is 47% alcohol, 94 proof. And I vote now that we make this the official rum of the symposium. So if somebody wants to go to the websites and buy it, it's actually not that expensive. It's probably not any of those other types of rums that you can find. It seems to be pretty reasonably priced. So, and anybody who has Facebook that I'm friends with has probably already gotten the link sent to them. That will do it for this week from the men's room. Year two of the symposium took place in 1995. Let's go back and take a look at what was going on. So in 1995, just to give you a little bit of idea of what was going on, Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson got married. Shortly thereafter, they made their sex tape. I don't know how long it was before it came out, but they made their sex tape around that time also. Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead passed away that year. Two of the movies that had been released in 1995 were Batman Forever and Mallrats. The channel UPN launched with a 2-hour premiere of Star Trek Voyager. There was a show on Fox called Sliders. And in sports, the Nebraska was the national champions in football. And that was long before Tricky got there. So that was the year 1995. Just a couple things that I missed in the last episode of year one of the symposium is that the name of the two poems that Dwin read that year, or at least one of the poems, was called Big Ass Lil and Yukon Pete. And it took, according to my information, it took him 15 minutes to read it. At some point, we'll probably get Dwin on here and he can either reiterate the poems or elaborate on where he got them from or whatever. Also, there was another thing that happened at that symposium that I did not bring up. That was the year that what we have come to known and has actually gone away is known as the neck shot. Again, another story from Dwin, which you will, well, at some point I hope to get him on here and he can explain the entire story of the neck shot. So that's just a slight little recap. All right, I'm going to start with a little story of year two with the road trip out with me, Boo, and Rich. And we were being followed this year by Tony Babcock, Dave Cleveland, and who had become known to be as Bitch, and Cliff Runyard, who was driving. On the way out, me and Rich were drinking in the vehicle in the front, and we came across what appears to be a roadside check or roadblock of some kind. I'm not sure what it was. It turned out not to be that, but what it is that we kind of panicked and started throwing beer bottles out the windows. Well, if you've seen me, Boo, and Rich, you know that we're really big guys. At this point, Cliffy was not quite that big, and he wasn't quite as small as Dave, but he wasn't really a large guy. Anyways, with that, we were throwing beer bottles out the window. And as we're driving, not paying attention to the fact that he's behind us, so he has to like swerve his car. As he's swerving his car, he's screaming and yelling and going, "I'm gonna kick their all their asses. I'm gonna kick all their asses, these stupid fuckers." Well, you gotta realize that, like I said, Cliffy's not that big, and me, Boo, and Rich are. And I think Dave or Tony at this point kind of says, "You do know who's in that vehicle in front of us, right?" Basically saying that you're crazy if you think you're kicking their butts. But he was a little pissed off, and I can't blame him for that. Anyways, so that was my little story for the road trip out. I've got a better one for the next year, but that'll wait till next year. Well, we arrive at Jerry Tricky's place, which is the same place it was the year before. We still hanging out there, and it's still plenty frickin' hot. Again, it's about 1,000 degrees this year. This year, I think we have like another extra fan, and I don't know if we were able to get the windows open or whatnot, but that's what we did. So we get there and we're hanging out, and I believe Dwayne does another poem and brings in another lovely little concoction of his drink. Still not sure what it was, but it was tasted pretty gross, and it was gross. Again, the drink, not his poem, as I said that. So we're hanging out. Do our cordial shit again, hello fuckers, and we proceed to go down to the bar. Of course, I believe as we were walking down to the bar, some people said they claim they found some poker chips of Trickies from the year before. So we're headed down to the bar, and we had been drinking prior to going down to the bar, and I believe this is a bar that Tricky has hung out in before. And as we're doing this, we go down there, and Tony's had quite a bit to drink at this point, I believe. Again, oddly enough, this involves a story of us drinking. This time it's not Tricky that's going to cause the problem. Not that it was a big problem, not like it was the year before. Not that that was a huge problem either, but it wasn't Tricky causing the problem this time. It was actually Tony. Tony had had way too much to drink at this point, or he was just extremely tired, or a combination of both. I'm leaning towards the drinking too much. Anyways, we were at the bar, and I believe he like got drunk or he got sick in the toilet or whatever at this bar, and I believe he was falling asleep in a booth or fell asleep in the bathroom. I'm not sure which one it actually was, but all I know is that we were asked to get him out of the bar because he was falling asleep. So we headed back to Jerry's place at this time, and it's got to be close to 3 a.m. in the morning, bar, closing bar time anyways. So, and the story is that we got back and we're hanging out and drinking and talking. At about 3 a.m., somebody decided that they got hungry. It's pitch black. We're in the middle of fucking nowhere, or close to fucking nowhere, depending on how you want to look at it. And like I said, it's about 3 a.m., and while we're all drunk, people decide that they want to have some hamburgers. So they try to start a grill. Whether the grill actually ever got started, I don't know. I don't know if anybody ever ate any of the hamburger that was cooked that night, or supposedly cooked that night. But I do know that it was quite gross, because around shortly thereafter, me, Aaron, and Dwin. Anyways, Dwin headed to Aaron's apartment at the school where we slept that night. Now, we had two new members of the CCMP join us this year in Adam Lewis and Mark Schlein. And from the talk of messing with people while they were sleeping, Adam decided that he didn't want to deal with that, so Adam had decided that he would sleep in his truck that night. With that and whatnot, me, Ed, and Dwin went over to Aaron's apartment. We slept there. We woke up the next morning, and I believe me and Dwin took some showers over there, and I believe Aaron did too. I don't know if Aaron had some work to do or whatnot, but that's why we went over there anyways. So we headed back over to the house. I believe this is the first year we decided we were going to go play golf this year, and this was the first year of golf. So we got up and we headed back to the house, and we got over there and Jerry was passed out drunk, which is not a surprise. And so another friend of ours that had been there, or another friend of Aaron's that he met while working at the school, is Tim. And since Tim was, I think Tim might have either was playing or he stopped by to say hi or something. So in order to get Tricky up, we decided to have Tim's son, Calvin, jump on Jerry until he woke up. Apparently there was another rule put in this year because somehow, some way, the bathroom door got broke. So at the bottom of the rules was placed, "Don't break the fucking bathroom door." I'm not sure what that was. Anyways, so we went out and we played golf. Nothing major. It was a dinky little golf course. This golf course actually made Windmill look like a PGA Tour golf course, from what I remember. It wasn't a great golf course. Again, if you want to call what we do golf, that's entirely up to whoever watches us play golf. So, believe me, that's not golf what we do. Aside from maybe what Mark does is golf. And there's more story to that, again, in year three. Anyways, we get back from doing our golf outing. And it's like 1,000 degrees again this year. And so some of the guys, before we start to play cards for our World Series of Poker, some of the guys decide to head down to try to clean up, and they don't want to all jump in the shower at Tricky's house because it wasn't a very big bathroom, it wasn't a very big shower. So a bunch of the guys headed down to this creek or river or whatnot. I don't know what it was. I didn't go, but the story goes that there was, I believe it was Rich that did this. They were down washing and walking on some of the rocks, and the rocks were like really kind of slippery or whatever, and these guys are having a hard time standing. And one of the guys is going, all of a sudden one guy is like standing still, and I think it might have been Dwin that was doing it. Dwin was standing still, and they were like, "How the hell are you standing still?" And he's going, "I'm standing on this rock." Well, at some point, I'm not positive if that, this is the way I remember the story. I don't know if this is actually what happened or not, but they were like, what do you mean this rock? And I guess the rock started to move, and it turns out that the rock wasn't a rock, it was a large turtle. So now that's the way I remember the story. I was not there, I didn't go down, but I think it's pretty funny that they were standing on a turtle that was moving. So they returned from their little trip down to this river or creek or whatever you want to call it from washing up. And we're going to cook whatever. I think they had to go out and get more hamburger, or we had some steaks or something. And I think this is the year we figured out that Rich could cook. Anyways, with that, we proceeded to, as we were waiting to do this, we were getting ready to play cards and set up the new year for the poker. Anyways, so we did this, and Rich had brought a potato gun. Now, how much I'm allowed to speak on the potato gun incidents, I don't know. Let me say this much. The potato gun was brought out. The potato gun was fired several times. At this point, I don't know. I don't remember a lot more of what happened, or I'm not allowed to say any more of what happened. All I know is the potato gun was brought out, potato gun was fired. Let's leave it at that. So we end with that, and we head in to play cards. And we're playing cards. We eat and we play cards. And as we're playing cards, it's pretty eventful. We've learned some new games and we're playing some stuff and we're playing along. And I believe this is the year that I bluffed Aaron out of a pot. And he not really got mad at me, but he was just kind of like, "When the fuck did you learn to play cards?" So that's pretty much what that came down to. Although he really can't complain too much that even if I bluffed him and I did take a pot from him, he ended up winning the poker that year. With that, it was also stated that this was the year that I learned, like I said, learned to play cards. Since it wasn't so much that I learned to play cards, they decided that it was the fact that I made a deal with the devil. So the running joke is that they kept asking me, "So how much did it cost you? What did you really have to give up? Was it really worth it that you sold your soul to the devil to learn to play cards and win at cards?" So that's not the case. Although technically I probably made the deal with the devil the year that this was several years prior to that I don't know if it was a New Year's Eve or what it was, that we played the last time that in between was allowed to be played at our games was this, and that might have been the time that might have been the year that I made the deal with the devil, is the year that I won the huge pot of in between. Now, they really shouldn't complain about that because despite the fact that I won that, I probably ended up losing out because I took everybody out to breakfast that morning, which on my part was kind of stupid now looking back at it. But anyways, I was being kind and anyways. Well, that was also the last reason that in between is no longer allowed to be played at our poker games. So, as I said, that finishes off year two and Aaron was the champion of the second symposium. Kind of odd that the two founders won the first 2 years. Seeing as going into year two with Mark and Adam there, that I believe Mark was probably the hands-on favorite that year to have probably tried to take it. But Aaron played very well that year. So this is also the year, I believe, it may have come up the year before, but I know that was also the year of what is come to be known as being schmacked by the dummy. Now, schmacks are when you get beat by the dummy hand, you're playing a match the pot game, and you have a pretty good hand, and the dummy hand beats you. We call that a schmack. Now, as the tournament starts, you can usually get schmacked. You usually just get classic, and Cliffy's the what we call our king of the schmack. He comes up with different ways to do schmacks. We have the classic schmack, which is schmack. We have our machine gun schmack, which is schmackety mack 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 mack. We have, if you lose in a game we call pup, where you have ace 2 3, tens are wild, and you have ace 2 10. The dummy pulls ace 2 3 natural. You get what is called a fuck schmack. I'm sorry about yelling, but that's what it entails. You get that 3 a.m. Saturday schmack, which is schmackety schmack schmack. Then there is the Amish drive-by schmack, which is clip clap clip clap clip clap clip clap clip clap clip clap schmack clip clap clip clap clip clap. It's our Amish drive-by schmack. So, with that brings year two to a close, and I will have plenty of stories for year three. And with that, I leave you with a lovely little poem that we have. It's called Fucker, and it's, "You are my fucking friend, and I hope you know that's fucking true. No matter what the fuck happens, I will stand the fuck by you. I will fucking be there for you whenever the fuck you need me, to lend you a fucking hand, to do a fucking good deed. So just fucking call me whenever the fuck you need anything. Fuck, I will always be there, even to the bitter fucking end." And that is our poem of Fucker. So with that, I bring year two to a close. And as I said, Aaron, 1 year two, we have plenty more to go. We're heading into year 18. And just a quick reminder, the symposium will be June 21st through the 24th this year. And again, it's in our usual location of Alpha Woodall, or Alpha Hall. Alrighty, and I leave you with, if you're a man, you'll understand. See you next week.